and to see if my passage was right. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's go there if you will. A lot in this text to unpack, but I'm not going to do it all. But next week I'm going to have a follow-up to this. And also in this same passage, verses 5 through 11, I'm going to talk about God's purpose in pain. You know your pain has a purpose. And we're going to talk about that next week. But this morning we're going to take a real trip to heaven. How many of you want to go to heaven? Raise your hand. Amen. All right. I think everybody, some were slow about getting it up. How many of you want to go to heaven? How many of you know the real way to heaven? All right? Okay, we're all going, right? But we don't want to go today, right? A real trip to heaven. I'm going to go ahead, short introduction, I'm going to go ahead and tell you that God, in this text, verses 1 through 11, had given the Apostle Paul three gracious gifts. You'll see them on your screen there. He gave him paradise, he gave him pain, and he gave him power. You can't go to heaven unless you know Jesus. But then after we're saved, God begins a process of conforming us more like his Son. In pain, divine purposes is how he uses that. But also, he's not left you to go through the pain by yourself. He's given you his grace. He's given you his power. So let's look at our text today in chapter 12. We're just going to read verses 1 through 6, if you will, stand in honor of God's word. And then we're going to begin to look at these three gracious gifts that God has given the Apostle Paul and us as well. Remember last week, Paul didn't want to brag about a boast. He wanted his boast of being in the Lord. He talked about how he had suffered greatly for the cause of Christ. You know, and now he continues that. He said, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Now, let me stop right there. There have been Bible scholars, teachers, and preachers that tried to say he was in the body, out of the body. If the Apostle Paul who was there don't know, we don't know either, okay? Y'all follow me. Then he says, I cannot tell whether out of the body or in the body, God knoweth, such a one caught up to the third heaven. I know such a man. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. He repeats that again. How that he was caught up into the paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for the man to utter. Of such one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to the glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth him to be, or that he heareth of me. Father, I pray this morning that these wonderful things that you gave the Apostle Paul, thank you for giving them us as well. Yet we're not been caught up into paradise yet, into heaven, but we are going. But you, by your divine sovereignty, has given us pain, whether it be physical or spiritual, to make us more like Christ. And so, Father, I pray for that day as we go through this life. Yes, one day we'll know, one day we'll be relieved of this, but in the meantime, you have given us your grace, which is sufficient. So speak to us today. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Three wonderful gifts, three gracious gifts that God has given the Apostle Paul. Number one, paradise. In verses 1 through 6, you see that. He was caught up into the third heaven, paradise. There's much talk today. If you want to get my dander up very quickly, just let me go in a bookstore and see the title of some book about somebody that died and went to heaven. Somebody that I know that thought better, I would think better, was telling me about a man who died and went to heaven and come back, and he wasn't even saved when he went to heaven. But he got saved after he got back. Now, pray tell me, what's wrong with that, huh? People, yeah, everything. That's Greek for, oh me. I mean, that's everything. And then he says he's preaching Christ right now. I want to tell you something. You ain't got to go to heaven to preach Jesus. Amen? But one day we're going to go and we're going to see him. There's been books, people transported to heaven and back. They write a book. They go on a charismatic TV. They make a movie. And I find that very strange, right, Brother Larry? Because Paul didn't even utter what he saw and what he heard, right? But they come and money grabbers, and they write books and make movies about what all they have seen or heard. And it doesn't line up with Scripture. And they appear on the speaking circuit on charismatic TV. And they love to get a hold of those type fellas. And they can put them on a pedestal. I just want to see if y'all knew it. And they put them on a pedestal. All right? So they could propagate their theology and their lies, right? While we poor old Baptists, we don't know nothing because we've never been to heaven, you know? And this just goes, it just irks me. That irks me more than anybody else. And in fact, last bookstore I went in, they had that little book about a little boy that wrote the book about heaven is for real, right? Well, we're going to take a real trip to heaven. And it's not in some little three-year-old's book, okay? It's in the Word of God here. I want you to note, first of all, by the way, why are Christians so gullible about these kind of things? They're searching for the sensational. The Scripture's not enough. And when someone comes along with that, they're so gullible, they're so non-discerning because they don't know their Bible, right? When they'll say, well, who are you to say that? God could work any way he wants to. I'm going to say it for the 100th time. God works in the confines of his holy Word of God. Amen? It is in this book how he works. And it's in this book that we need to learn. Notice verse 1 and 3. I won't read it again, but I'm just going to share it with you. Paul was so humble, he wouldn't even say that the man that was caught up in the body or out of the body, he don't know. He was so humble, he wouldn't even tell them it was him. He didn't want to appear to be boasting like the false apostles. And he says that twice here. In verse 7, he knew a man in Christ. Now, when did this happen? When in his ministry was he caught up? Well, there's three views. Number one, this vision took place. Notice it was a vision between his return to Tarsus in Jerusalem, but somewhere between Acts 9:30 and the start of one of his missionary journeys in Acts 13:1 through 3. Some say, well, that's when it happened. Others say, well, the vision took place when he actually died from a stoning at Lystra. And you find that in Acts chapter 14, verse 19 and 20. Let me read that to you, that account in Acts about him being stoned. It says, and there came thither Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around him, he rose up, and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. So there are people that believe and teach that this could possibly be the time that he had this vision and went to saw things in paradise. Paul says, I don't know if I was in the body or out of the body. Another view is, well, if it happened 14 years ago, like he said in the text here, then that would be around AD 42. He would be at Antioch in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. And so whatever view you take, I can't take a dogmatic view, and you can't take it as well because we're not sure. Whatever view you take on this, 14 years ago he experienced, he was caught up into heaven, into the third heaven, the abode of God, the paradise of God. It's all the same place. Don't let the cults tell you any different. Paradise is the third heaven, and the third heaven is paradise. And so we don't know what exactly happened about it, but notice what he did here. He didn't want to brag on this event, but he had to because of the Corinthians were being fallen prey to the pseudo-apostles. So he shows his humility here. He's not really showing his boasting. He's showing his humility here. And notice what Paul did that the others don't do. When Paul came back, he preached Christ, right? And see, any ministry that you see on TV that says, come see the man that died and went to heaven, No, that's not the focus. The focus is you preach Christ, right? And that's the focus. And that's what it was for the Apostle Paul here. Now note verses 4 and 6. He said he was caught up into the third heaven. The third heaven, paradise, the same place. Let me give you some scriptures. Revelation 2:7. Revelation 22:14. Luke 23:43. It's the same place. Paradise refers to heaven, where the saints of God dwells and where God dwells. You know, it's an amazing thing about God. That's his abode, the third heaven. But it's also, he's everywhere, right? He's in the third heaven, but yet he's dwelling in you. Amen? Because he's omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. Now, I've told you this before, but the scriptures teach three heavens, three levels, if you will. Not like the cults, but the first is earth's atmosphere in Genesis 1, 6, and 8. That's where the birds, that's when you wake up and you walk out of the house, that's the heaven you see, the firmament. That's what you see. You see the birds, you see the blue sky. The second one being where the stars and the planets are in Genesis 22, 17. But the third is the abode of God. You remember, I forgot what moon trip it was, but it might have even been the Russians. We'll blame it on the Russians, right? Everybody else is, right? It's not the Russians, it's our own government. Amen? Can I get an amen there? Oh, I started to get off on a tangent right there, but I didn't. I restrained myself. Ain't you proud of me, Brother Rick? Okay. Stay focused. Stay focused. That's good advice, brother. When they went up and they said, they come back. We didn't see God. We didn't see God. They better be glad they didn't. Amen? We didn't see God. So Paul was caught up. Notice that word there in our text. What verse is it in? 4, 5, 6, 8. Yeah, verse 4. How it was he was caught up into paradise. And he heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Can I add my version there? Or write a book about, right? That he could not utter. Inexpressible, unspeakable. It wasn't lawful for him to tell what he saw. The Bible said he was caught up. He didn't know whether he was in the body or out of the body. He wasn't. And evidently it's not important to him because it doesn't concern him. If the Apostle Paul doesn't really tell us which it was, then we shouldn't be concerned about it as well. But that word caught up, the Greek word is harpazo. It's the same word that means to seize or to catch away or to snatch or to pull, take away by force. It's the same word used for the rapture of the church. We're caught up, right, with God. It's the same word that's used to Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8:39. He got through sharing with him the gospel message from the book of Isaiah, and he was caught away. And then it's used of the ascension of Jesus in Revelation 12:5. He was caught up. And then it's used of the believer's security, eternal security, in John chapter 10, verse 28-29. No one will, what, pluck you out of my hands. And it's also the same Greek word used in the pulling of believers out of the fire in Jude 23. Those that are caught in sin, we go and rescue them from the fire, if you will. They'll be saved as by fire, the Bible speaks about. But he heard unspeakable, inexpressible words which were not lawful or possible to utter or to mortal ears. Now, let's don't read no more into this than we see here. He heard words, okay? We can't make it see some kind of heavenly language. It's not what the text says. It was words, inexpressible, unutterable, if you will, or unlawful for him to tell mortal ears. And so, evidently, the words were just for him, you know? And he was not to speak them. Also, I see here about this word caught up. Again, Paul could have boasted, but he wanted the Corinthian believers to judge him on his ministry and his message, not his visions, okay? I remember what Adrian Rogers said a long time ago. He'd say, John got the visions, you got the book, okay? So there are a lot of people running around looking for the wrong thing. Just get into your Bible and you'll find out all you need to live godly, okay? So he gave him the gift of paradise. And one day you're going to have it too. It's a reality in your life. You're going to heaven. If you know Jesus and it's real and you repented of your sins, you believe in him, that your life has been transformed, you've been regenerated, you show evidence of a born-again Christian, you're going to heaven too. Amen?
Amen.
And what a great day that's going to be. Leave this old world behind. All right? Maybe it'll happen before the election. Amen? And we won't have to worry about the day after the election. That's the day I'm concerned about, the day after the election. I might even have a sermon for that time, the day after, when it comes. But here they gave him heaven. But then notice this. It takes him from the thrill to the throne, if you will, to the thorn. He says, I gave you pain. Look in verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, right? There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. There was given unto me. It was God who gave him the thorn, but he allowed Satan to give him the thorn, if you will. A messenger of Satan. Satan can't do anything to you unless it's allowed by God. Would you agree with that? I hope you do, because it's in the Bible. God used this thorn to make him humble, to make him usable. And I'm glad he did. And I'm glad he doesn't name the thorn. We'd all be trying to go around. You'd be reading books and you'd be seeing movies and you'll have sermons and you'll have churches about how to get the thorn, you know. But he didn't tell us about what the thorn was. We can speculate, right? But we do know God gave him a thorn to keep him humble and from boasting. And God sent it through his messenger, Satan. I mean, that's what the text says, right? There was given to me the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. The word thorn in the flesh there literally means a stake for the flesh. Some believe it to be a physical illness. Again, I told you where I stand on this, going through 2 Corinthians. You see it. Chapter 10 through chapter 13, he's defending himself against the pseudo-apostles. I personally believe it was the head of the false apostles who was a demon, who was energized by a demon, who was afflicting him. That's what I believe. You don't have to believe that if you don't want to. You can believe it's malaria or eyesight, or you can believe it's some kind of disease, or you can believe it's whatever it is, you know, some kind of physical illness. There's multitudes of interpretations. But whatever it was sent and given to him to keep him humble. The word messenger there in verse 7 means angel. There was given to me a messenger, an angel from Satan. And he buffeted the Apostle Paul. And buffet means to rap with the fist. He literally tormented the Apostle Paul. It was God's will to allow Satan to slap the Apostle Paul around, okay, to keep him humble. Now, there's not many places where we see the divine providence of God or the purpose of God, but we see it in the text. He said it was given to me to keep me humble, right? So the assault was painful, whatever it was, whether it was a physical illness or it was the head of the enemies of the cross, the false apostles, or whoever it was. It was a great tormenting to the Apostle Paul. And so, you know, I was thinking about something the other day. All these that claim to go to heaven, do you ever see any evidence in their life that God has given them pain to keep them humble? No, you don't see it. But you see it in the Apostle Paul's life. And let me say it this way. Satan was the instrument, God was the cause. Satan was the instrument, and God was the cause. So God gave Paul paradise. He gave him pain so he could use him. And then he gave him power. Look in verses 8 through 10. We'll talk more about this pain and this thorn next week. Okay? Look in verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. What thing? The thorn in the flesh. I besought the Lord thrice. Now this is just not, oh Lord, if it be your will, take this from me. I mean, this word basalt is a strong word. He says, I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that he might depart from me, that it might depart from me. Now notice what he said. You know, sometimes, I'll go ahead and say it, sometimes God decides not to, in his divine providence, to remove the pain or the thorn. Okay? But what does he do? And he said unto him, my grace is sufficient for thee. And I'm not going to elaborate this today. I'll do it next week. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, my power, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. And that's what he did last week, wasn't it? That the power of Christ might rest upon me. In other words, I realized that in my infirmities, I'm weak, but that's when the power of Christ works in my life. Amen? But we don't want it to happen like that, right? We just want the thorn to go away. But God may have a higher purpose. Okay? He said, most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities. What do we mean by, was he walking around happy that he had a thorn? That the power of Christ might rest upon me. See, he knew the reason. He knew that the power of Christ would not rest upon him in his ministry unless he had this thorn. Look in verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Now, what does that word mean there? I take pleasures in infirmities. And again, it's not like he was overjoyed and had a thorn party, inviting all his friends and say, man, bring your thorn. We're going to have a party. He says, look what he says in verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Well, that means that he understood why God gave him this thorn, and he understood the divine purpose behind it, so he took pleasure in the fact that God was showing himself powerful in his life, and he was using him. Okay? Joni Erickson Tata, right? We think of others in the same shape. They would never have been used by God unless they had been afflicted. Now, that don't fit our theology, does it? Our theology is, I got this, I don't want it, get it out of here. But Paul took pleasure. Why? Because he knew God was using it to work in his life, right? So, paradise, pain. Why the thorn? You might ask God sometimes, you know, why this, why that? Why is this happening? Why not the old drunk down the street? Why about the one that's not even saved? What is the one that doesn't even love God? Why isn't this not happening to them? Well, unless they come to Christ, God's divine purpose for them to spend eternity in a devil's hell. Amen? But I'm telling you, God gave Paul this thorn to keep him humble so he could be used by God. And I believe, based upon verse 11, that Paul, with all his glory and all his revelations and all his visions and what all God did with him, that in the end, in verse 11, he would still understand that he was a mere man. Look in verse 11. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I would ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. As great as the apostle Paul was, he was a mere man like you and me. Amen? But yet God used him, called him to be an apostle of the Gentiles, and allowed him to have this thorn, whatever it might be, so that he could be used of God and God would get the glory. Just think if he had not done that. Just think if he had not given him this thorn. Man, Paul would be so proud as a peacock, he'd be strutting around. He wouldn't be concerned about you and me, would he? Now, next week, we're going to talk about the gift of pain. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 5 to 11, some divine purposes that God uses in our life to conform us more like Christ. And we'll talk about that next week. I hope this made sense to you because it comes straight out of the Word of God. Amen? Amen? So the question is, when something happens to us, is not why me, but God, how are you going to use this for your glory? Father, thank you for your Word today. Not a